You are listening to Eastside Radio Podcast.
We Ride has been going for nearly 25 years. It was originally a program set up by the bicycle industry to promote cycling. So they invested some of their turnover in growing the pie, if you like, to make Australia a better place to ride a bike. In recent years, 2017, we became an independent, not-for-profit organisation, so a charitable organisation because it was better, a little bit better for governance and so on. So we have support from all over the place, principally the industry, but it's separate to their day-to-day concerns with selling bikes. We have a federal focus, so I walk the halls of Parliament. We do economic research so that we know, for instance, that, you know, cycling contributes $16.8 billion to the Australian economy and that supports around 40,000 jobs annually. And we know that cycle tourism is the second largest contributor to our economy, and that's about nearly $2 billion a year. So cycle tourism is really coming up strongly. We work closely with the state bicycle groups, and in your case, yours is Bicycle New South Wales, and we have a really great close working relationship with Peter and Sarah and the team in BNSW. And it's just really important for the interests of this great, healthy, active mode of transport, because we don't do the sport stuff, right? That's not our business. But this great, healthy, active transport mode is represented federally as well as in each state and territory.
Given the undulating landscape, and look, I should say you're based in Canberra, so I'm not too sure how familiar you are with the eastern suburbs of Sydney. But given the undulating landscape of Sydney streets, I've always felt that e-bikes could be a way to get more people riding, particularly, for example, with a suburb like Bondi, where it's very difficult to climb out of. To come up to Paddington or the city, you have to be pretty fit and strong, but every time you ride, you're faster than the vehicles on the road. So we need to encourage e-bikes, don't we?
Tony, there is a really good reason why e-bikes are booming globally. They will soon be, and they are in other parts of the world, they will soon be the majority of the bikes that are sold by independent bicycle retailers, because it's the first time that someone who doesn't currently ride a bike thinks, oh, maybe I could ride because of that assistance. There are other fantastic things about e-bikes, and that is that because they are so fun and it makes those short daily trips we do each day so easy, people ride more. So everyone says, oh, you know, or you're not getting the exercise because you're getting all of the battery assisted power. Well, hang on a sec. I have friends who live in Waverley and around Bondi, and there are lots of families taking their kids to school on cargo bikes and long tails. My mother lives in Sydney, so I do spend a fair bit of time in Sydney, and it's great to see how perfect they are for your geography.
Yes, and looking at the timeline of the history of e-bikes and some of the legislation that's been in place regarding them, it looks like there is legislation in place, but it's not appropriate anymore or it's not being enforced.
So in 2012, the Federal Assistant Minister for Transport, Catherine King, introduced a new national standard governing e-bikes, EN15194. For the first time, this used a globally adopted and accepted standard that ensured e-bikes were safe, that they underwent rigorous certification of both the batteries and the bikes themselves. You need good brakes. You need to know the frame's not going to break. You need to know that the forks won't collapse. And this, after about 7 years, and it was a New South Wales government, you know, each new regulation has to be adopted by all states and territories for use, okay?
Yeah.
So it took a few years for that to roll out through all the states and territories. But by 2017, everyone, all the bikes coming into Australia had to be certified to that global standard. And all imports coming into the country had to be certified. You had to sign a declaration that your bike conformed to that standard, right? In 2021, there was an amendment made to the Australian Road Rules that removed this EN15194 standard, and it replaced it with a much simpler maximum 25k an hour pedal assist, no more than 6 kilometres an hour using a throttle, and 250 watt continuous rated power. But because it had been removed from the standard certification process, you didn't have to make any declaration anymore when you brought bikes into the country. Since that time, we have seen a flood of non-conforming e-bikes, which are more accurately described as motorbikes, and they're overpowered, and they're also the batteries are not certified in the same way, and the overwhelming majority of battery fires. And sadly, some of the tragedies we've seen with casualties and deaths from e-bikes have been from bikes that are overpowered either by software, you know, tweaks, aftermarket sort of tampering, right? And it's these bikes that are flooding the market that no one has to declare when they come in that are causing us all these problems.
This is the downside that we're all reading about at the moment, particularly with the battery fires. But I saw an e-bike being charged on the street a couple of weeks ago, and I thought, oh, there we go. They're putting charging stations on the street for e-bikes, getting them out of the block of units where they can do untold damage. And then the other thing is obviously we're seeing all this massive influx of kids now who are zipping around the city. Now, I remember what it was like to be young, Stephen, and I feel a little bit of jealousy perhaps that I'm not young anymore zipping around on one of these motorized e-bikes. But at the same time, I recognize that some rules need to be put in place, some guidelines as to how to behave them. And firstly, who's going to enforce these rules, isn't it?
Yes. Look, it is wonderful to see school bike sheds full of bikes again.
Yep.
However, the problem is that the retailers of some of these bikes are providing a code with a wink and a nudge and saying, you know, if you use this bike on private property, you're not limited by the road rules. Here's a code to put in if you want to really go for it. Unfortunately, that means that these bikes are going too fast in shared zones with other people and bikes and pedestrians. And they're opening up the riders to liability for a whole range of fines. So if you're caught by police and you have different road rules, you have different regulations for e-bikes in New South Wales now, which means you can have up to 500 watt motors on them. If you are caught with a bike that has a larger than 500 watt power, it is considered an unregistered vehicle and you're immediately liable for a fine of $844 as an unlicensed rider, because you're riding an uncertified, what's termed a motor vehicle. You're therefore an unlicensed rider, and there's another $844 fine that you can attract. And if you're not wearing a motorcycle helmet, because the police consider these non-compliant bikes as unregistered motorbikes, you're up for another $423. So a lot of parents thought that they were doing the right thing, okay? And their kids, they don't have to drive their kids to school anymore. So we're getting a bit of a reduction in traffic, which is always a good thing. But unfortunately, because of this flood of non-conforming standards e-bikes, people are opening themselves up to, you know, liability to fines.
And that's a lot of shifts at your after-school part-time job, I can see. It's certainly a deterrent. No one wants to work that many hours and then hand it all over for fines. Should we be thinking about something like you need to get your L's to drive a car? Do you need to get your L's to ride one of these e-bikes on the road, given their, you know, propensity to be so fast?
But you can't, because these vehicles do not comply with Australian design rules for motorbikes.
So they shouldn't be on the road to begin with. That's what Rewrite Australia is saying.
Unfortunately, yep. You can't legally ride on the roads on these bikes.
Okay. So the horse has bolted, though, hasn't it? That's the problem.
The horse has bolted. The police are onto this. They're very concerned from a safety standpoint a 14-year-old tragically died on one of these high-powered bikes in the last 2 or 3 weeks in New South Wales. This is a public safety issue, sadly.
He wasn't wearing a helmet, and though, from what I understand. I don't think he was wearing his helmet, and he was trying to do wheelies. They all want to do wheelies on them, don't they?
Yeah, I know, yeah. So, you know, there's a ride-out crew, and there's a whole sort of social media phenomenon around that. Look, at the end of the day, sadly, you know, the pressure falls once again on the police, who have quite enough work to do. And so, you know, that they're going to quite likely, I would say, conduct an education campaign to alert everyone, and then they may take up a more enforcement sort of approach. But there are use, how we use these bikes is an issue because of the lack of imports. So your Transport Minister, John Graham, wrote a joint letter with the Victorian Transport and Active Travel Ministers to the Federal Minister saying, please, Minister, can we fix up this situation with importation of non-conforming e-bikes, right? That's the root of the sort of the cause of all of this is really since 2021, when that seemingly minor amendment was made in the Australian road vehicle legislation, this has happened. But then we also need education and so on in at the state level to deal with all of the problems.
The education could come from the schools as well. Fines could easily be transferred to parents. I mean, there's certainly lots of solutions. We didn't used to wear seatbelts in our cars at the beginning of the 80s, but public safety and public health, we introduced these guidelines and these regulations. And I think within time, people won't even remember how wild west it was out there.
It does. Look, I haven't ridden a bike around Cronulla or around Manly, which is where all the fat bikes are. I have seen them, and they're just a wonderful thing. I mean, e-bikes is a fantastic mode. The other big issue, of course, that you've got now is the government is looking at banning e-bikes, a temporary ban on e-bikes on trains because of the fears around battery fires if a train is enclosed in a tunnel and there's no escape. So, you know, that consultation was opened up by the Department for Transport, I think on Tuesday. What are we today? Thursday. I think Tuesday morning it came out. So we'll all be putting in a submission to that.
You definitely don't need e-bikes on trains, that's for sure. You've got an e-bike, you can traverse suburbs.
But Tony, you know where they are important, and that's all of the delivery riders who can't afford to live in the city where all the jobs are.
Uh-huh.
So they're all traveling long distances from their accommodation in the outer suburbs.
Is that what it is? Uh-huh. Thanks for explaining that. Yes.
To come in and work and earn money inside. So there's a real kind of equity issue as well associated with travel on trains. The other thing is, there are an astounding number of Australians who do not have a license to drive. And many of those can't drive through disability and rely on some of these amazing e-trikes and sort of adapted e-bikes for mobility. So there are also issues around equity and accessibility for people who can't drive, don't have that option, and can't climb up into buses. They get around on electric wheelchairs, electric bikes, although electric wheelchairs are not subject to this ban, prospective ban. But there are equity issues, and there are many issues that it's such a big step to ban without sort of reference to allowing safe bikes on and dangerous bikes off. And so we're going to be suggesting that any bikes that have aftermarket kits on them to make them into e-bikes should not be allowed on, and that some sort of certification process is adopted whereby you can walk into whoever certified, say, a bike shop or something, and they can put on a sticker saying this is a safe standards e-bike, and hopefully we'll get the Department of Transport agreement that there are safe and there are unsafe e-bikes, which would allow some onto the trains.
Stephen, 10 years ago, I reached out to Bicycle New South Wales to express some concerns regarding those delivery drivers and their lack of visibility on the roads at night. And I can see that now they are lit up like Christmas trees with high-vis fluorescent jackets, high-vis fluorescent food backpacks. So change is possible. It doesn't have to take as long as perhaps it did for that. Thank you so much for joining us on Eastside Radio this afternoon to talk about, well, to shed some light on this very controversial but multi-layered and complex issue.
It's a great pleasure, Tony. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
You have been listening to Eastside Radio Podcast. For selections of more enjoyable content like this, visit our website, eastsidefm.org, and click on Podcast.